Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning. Yes, this is the second hour of Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, and we're finding that the Facebooks is going to, they have an appeal process now. They instantly say our post was bad, first time ever.
But it will take a few days for the appeal to go through.
Right, for them to finally say. Now, I double-checked the check of the fax checking, and that stopped on April 7th. So I guess their way of getting around fact-checking is to actually just not let a post go.
Yeah.
If any post that says Facebook scam, they're going to say, hey, we don't want to have that show up. maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. This is self-protection.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely nothing about that post that was
harmful to anyone. We would never do that to anybody.
Not knowingly.
No.
So thank you, Facebook, for protecting our listeners from Boston Media Group. I mean, it's just
Boston Web Marketing.
Web Marketing, yeah. So can't make it up. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines open for you, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. As we wait for your calls, we probably have some technology news we can talk about.
Oh, we do. We do. Interesting story.
Yes.
Okay. A few years ago, this guy came up with an app. Idea for an app.
Sounds like the beginning of a great story.
It is a unified purchasing app.
Okay.
For lack of a better description, it allows you to buy products from different places on the web using one wallet. You know, you'd have your credit card stored with them rather than all these other sellers.
Hmm.
And you would buy through them rather than the individual sellers. It was a way to kind of, I would guess it aggregates sales. It's probably a way to find bargains because you're looking for one product among different sellers. Anyway,
gotcha.
This guy came up with the idea for the app. He got some investors on board.
Sure.
And the app was what really he was using to sell this is that he was going to use AI to run it.
Oh.
Where you would put in what you want to buy, and the AI would go out and find it all over the internet and then, you know, get you a way to buy it.
Within his aggregators.
Right. Also, the AI itself would interact with the online seller and submit your payment and all of that.
Gotcha.
So that you didn't have to do that work. Okay.
You just said, I want to buy it.
It was carrying out all of the logistics of the sales for the sale for you.
Nice.
At any rate, it's a great idea, I guess. Assuming that it works. Not something that I would want to do, but I guess people might think it's attractive.
Maybe.
Guys,
Dennis. We don't buy anything.
At any rate, he had this app. It was going for a little while, but then it failed financially, went bankrupt. So all of these investors are now out their money.
Well, that's what happens.
Well,
when you invest.
They sued him, and it turns out that there was no AI behind this.
You're kidding.
Almost no AI. It was all people in the, you know, it's some kind of a call center doing all of this work.
So he,
you know,
called,
going to find the listings and then going through the logistics of buying for you. It was mostly being done by human beings rather than AI.
Oh, my goodness.
So now he's looking at fraud accusations.
Of course.
So, you know, it's kind of an interesting story about the collapse of an app. And it's all because the AI that was supposed to be there wasn't really there.
Yeah.
And it couldn't really do what he was promising it would do. It reminds me of the self-driving cars.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
That required human interaction. What?
Every five minutes.
Every few minutes, yeah. Right.
Yeah, a human would take the wheel.
And a human somewhere in some call center would have to grab the wheel.
You could have a bumper sticker.
Apply the brakes.
Yeah, you could have a bumper sticker that says, Jesus, take the wheel. But in this case, it's a human that was going to take the wheel because your AI couldn't do it. It was literally less than every 5 minutes. It was I don't know which car service it was. It was either Cruise or I think it might have been Cruise.
I think it was Cruise, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not autonomous driving when every 5 minutes some guy in the third world is grabbing your wheel and avoiding the mailbox. man. So a story about an app, an AI app. It's kind of like the whole thing we talked about before with blockchain iced tea. Remember that blockchain iced tea company in Long Island? At the moment they changed their iced tea name from whatever iced tea to blockchain iced tea, their stock went through the roof. It's like,
and to be clear, the company had nothing at all to do with blockchain technology.
Right.
All they did was change the name.
Correct. And everyone said, "Oh, blockchain, that makes a lot of money." How's that going, by the way? I haven't heard a lot of blockchain talk. Have you?
No. Hmm. There isn't a lot going on with it.
No.
There really isn't. I mean, it's an interesting technology. I suppose somebody somewhere is going to come up with a valid use for it. But people have been fooling around with it for a while. It wasn't actually invented in, 2009? It actually is a little bit older as a concept. And it had been used by companies like IBM for different things, but none of them ever materialized into anything resembling an actual real world use. And that's still the case, what, 15, 16 years after Bitcoin hit the universe.
So it's interesting. That's a great story, Dennis. So we have four lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. I do want to tell this story again. Dennis thinks I might have told it already, but I find it kind of interesting because I'm on with Brian on Tech Tuesdays, and we talk about AI all the time. And I forgot to bring up this other use case because he's always wondering, well, what could he use AI for? And I don't know if I told this story or not, but my middle son is going to lease a property. And the lessor had never created a lease before. So what does he do? Well, he uses AI, doesn't call an attorney. Of course not. Don't call an attorney. He goes ahead and just uses AI and says, hey, AI, can you create a lease for me? And the lease was ridiculous. My wife and I to look at it because we have some properties that we rent. And he's like, Dad, what is all this stuff? And so I'm reading this ridiculously long lease. Now, what my son also did, unbeknownst to us, he took and ingested the lease into his AI. And asked his AI, hey, of this lease, what are the most cantankerous components of it that I got to deal with this lessor and the landlord? So he already had a lot of answers, all separated out, done by the AI. It looked beautiful. And my wife and I are sitting back saying, geez, this kid's pretty smart. Oh, this is the AI doing it all. And there was aspects of it that neither my wife or I, or he for that matter, had any idea as far as what the guy had put in it. So he was ready for a battle. So we spent an hour prepping with him. He's ready for a battle to go talk to the guy, the landlord. And the landlord was like, whatever you want to do, we can change whatever you want. I just created this with AI. I don't care. He didn't even battle with him. My son calls back and goes, Dad, the guy was cool. He didn't even care. He didn't even know what the AI created. Now, my point in bringing this up is about these two people that are creating a transaction that in the old days, your lease could literally be a page, right? The AI has created such a complicated mess of both the landlord and my son not knowing what the heck was going on that they had to use AI to figure it out. Whereas in the old days, you'd ask an attorney. I guess the point is, are we making our lives better Are we going to end up with contracts that are so complicated because you've asked AI to create them versus having your family attorney do it? What a mess, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if the guy had just done that,
right,
all of this would never have even happened, and none of you would have been wasting your time trying to make sense of a jumble.
Exactly
that was
the point.
Just,
yeah,
hallucinated by somebody's AI.
Right. So in the old days, he'd just, hey, Dad, look at this. And I would have been like, yeah, it looks good.
And of course, the attorney would probably be working from a boilerplate lease anyway. So it would be quick for him or her to do it.
Right. But my wife and I spent an hour and my son's. So there's 3 hours of all of our time wasted. Yep. It was fun chatting with him, of course. But about a lease, we'd rather not talk about that. So did AI help is my question.
No. It burned a whole lot of people's time.
I think it did too.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we'll see. I think AI eventually will be helpful. But if you're an attorney, you're sitting back and hearing my story. If that's what people are doing, you guys are going to have a lot of work unraveling all sorts of AI-generated contracts that have who knows what in it as far as what people are signing over. So I'm sure you guys are ready for that. That'll be fun. We're going to step out for a quick break. Still four lines wide open. I'm not sure what all you guys are doing, but we're here for you. 860-522-9842. This is Computer Talk. We'll be back. And we are back here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We got three lines open for you. Feel free to get online. We do have a caller coming in. Real quick, though, talking a little bit more about AI. I had a story I brought up with Brian on Tuesday. Last month, Mr. Gates himself said humans won't be needed for most things, in quotes, in the coming age of AI. He highlighted fields like medicine, teaching, mental health as all ripe for disruption. Meanwhile, Paul McCartney says that an incorrect approach to AI and the creative industries could lead to lost livelihoods for musicians and other creators. All I contend is probably correct. AI is not there yet, but we're working hard to get it there, and it has all been done before, as the bare naked ladies have said. So all AI has to do is sample, you know, and you know, Dennis, you can sit down and say, "Hey, AI, write me a story about this in this style, you know, that resembles this." You know, my wife and I just finished The White Lotus. You could just sit and take that content now and write a story. Just ask it to do it. Write a story like resembling season 3 of The White Lotus within that style, and it'll spit out something.
Yeah,
most likely will. Copywritten material to spit out.
Well, sure.
But I'm surprised Bill didn't talk about the legal industry, because again, that one is definitely, I think, also ripe for this. Our industry too. Don't get me wrong. Us too.
Yep.
All right, we're all gonna have to find something else to do. I don't know what it is, but it's gonna be an interesting time coming ahead with us. We'll see how that goes. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Jim in West Hartford next. Jim, what's happening?
Well, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Like I told Matt at the start, my wife and I are senior citizens.
Okay.
And we have very limited computer skills. And we have a very old computer. And if we don't update and upgrade, our sons and grandsons are going to disown us.
Oh, boy.
So we come look to you guys just for a little guideline. And besides that problem, I'm legally blind, which means that anything that I buy is going to have something where it will enlarge print,
yep,
where it might go from text to voice,
yep,
and reverse. So anything that you can shed a little bit of light on or give a couple of neophytes a hand would be greatly appreciated.
Sounds good. My kids do the same thing to me, sort of, in different areas. So in this case, our basic advice to all the listeners out there would be to get a late gen, a 14th gen processor. We still are going to recommend Intel, but there are other solutions out there from AMD. But an Intel processor, an i5 level or i7 level, wherever it is in your budget, but i5, 14th gen, or it's going to be called Ultra, I think is what you're going to see out there. 16 gigs of RAM or more. If you can afford more, that's fine. The operating system will suck it right up. A terabyte hard drive, solid state, you know, or half a terabyte. So 500 gigs to 1,000 gigs of storage, solid state, would be our recommendation. Now, there are all sorts of resources out there for folks that have, you know, limitations like you discussed. And the operating system itself, Microsoft has done a pretty good job.
They over the past 15 years, they've slowly incorporated a lot of different accessibility features.
It's literally called that.
And in the Windows Settings app, there is an accessibility tab that has all of these functions available. Yeah. You can set them up however you want. We can post a link to Microsoft's own article about all those features.
Have you used those before, Jim, and the versions you've got now?
Well, right now I have an old Intel processor. Someone said they suggested that Apple would streamline things for you, and that it would prevent you from having a lot of unintended visitors.
Mm.
Well, whether or not that's true, I really don't know. I have no familiarity with the Apple machine at all. But here again, we're open to suggestions.
So if you've never used Apple before, I mean, Apple tries to market themselves as ease of use. You know, you could consider it. It will be twice as expensive. The comment that somebody made about it obviously acting like it's more secure, it's got its own issues there too. And it's just less targeted because it's a smaller footprint. But it's definitely becoming more of a target these days for people's systems.
Yes. Eric and I have worked with somebody who has a Mac.
Yeah.
And that Mac was hit by one of those browser hijacks.
Right.
Where it tells him that his computer's been compromised and he needs to call a phone number.
Right.
It happens to Macs. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All kinds of stuff, all kinds of malware also happens to Macs.
The old days of actually having it compromise the operating system is not even necessary because the scammers just want you to call a phone number.
Right, you're right. They don't. A lot of them aren't even trying to get malware onto the computer. What they want is to get into your bank account or your credit card.
They want to trick you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say if you look at the Windows world, you'll spend a lot less money and maybe you'll have some more money to spend on some of the adaptability features you might need going forward to help you see what's on the screen. But the adaptability features of Microsoft have been improved. Chris Radio comes to mind. Have you heard of Chris Radio?
Yes, I have.
Okay. They may have resources too, and there is another company or is another resource out there in Connecticut that I always forget the name of that also has some resources on how to help folks. And Dennis is remembering that. I always forget this one too. He's supposed to be the guy that remembers
everything. I'm trying to remember it too.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But there's another resource out there for you too that you can utilize. But I would say take a look at the Windows 11 and the adaptability features within that latest operating system should get you a lot of what you want, Jim. And it'll probably cost you a little, maybe in that $1,000 range.
Yeah, well, we're prepared, you know, for that eventuality.
Yep.
We know that the stuff, if you get something really good, it's not going to be really cheap. So we're prepared for that.
Yeah, you know, a $500 computer is not a $1,000 computer at half price.
That's not what we're looking at. We realize that.
All right.
You know, people whose abilities, as far as computers are concerned, are minimal. We're going to have to go for something that is a little more intuitive and a little bit better to begin with. So otherwise, we're going to be right back where we started.
Exactly.
I would say that now that you're buying this computer in 2025, it's going to be a lot easier to get that right out of the box without having to get anything additional or having to do anything unusual.
And buy it quickly because the prices are going to be going up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. The tariffs.
Yes.
I've heard about that.
Keep it in mind.
Absolutely.
All right, Jim.
Okay, guys. We thank you very much.
Thank you.
The help is appreciated.
All right. Good luck,
sir. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Talk about prices going up. Gold. All my kids are getting married. Gold is shooting through the roof. Just a simple wedding band is an arm and a leg these days. We'll be right back. And we are back. And we did think of that name of that organization that helps folks with those disabilities.
It's New England Low Vision.
So we'll put a link to that as well.
We did. Yeah, it's going to be on the website and Facebook unless Facebook decides it's no good.
It could. Who knows? So they'll give you some additional services and techniques and technologies to help with low vision. All right. So let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to David in Vernon. What's going on, David?
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. We got a little white stuff in the lawn, but nothing on the road.
That's good, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the daffodils are a little confused. But
yes.
Yeah, mine are slowly dragging themselves out of the ground, and I think they're just going to go back under.
That's right. Dennis lives up high in the mountains. So.
Hopefully the week ahead is going to be improvements.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Bill Gates a moment ago, and Bill Gates wrote a couple of books that I purchased. Mm. He may have written bunches of them. I believe the name of it was The Road Ahead was one of them, and the other was The Speed of Thought or something to that degree.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell with either one of you?
I frankly don't read any of Bill's stuff.
I haven't read any of his books.
I have a love-hate relationship with that guy, so go ahead.
Okay. All right. My point was, if you had read those books.
Yep.
And what he predicted, most of it's come true,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as far as technology is concerned and things of that nature. But since you haven't read the books, it's sort of a moot point.
A little bit. Although I watched Star Trek.
Well, I mean, you could tell us what he was talking about.
Yeah, please do.
Enlighten everybody.
Yeah, what did he predict?
He talked about flat screens.
Sure.
He actually talked about the fact that your walls would basically be a flat screen, so as you walked from room to room, the screen would the walls would change.
Yeah, that sounds like a cool idea. I mean, that can happen. Yeah, it looks expensive.
Sure, I think we have the technology to do that now. Yeah, you just have a big bill.
Yeah.
He talked about a coffee table that was basically a keyboard or a computer.
Sure.
Actually, Microsoft made those at one time.
And I played Pac-Man
They were actually called Surface.
Yeah,
which is now a different thing,
right?
But at the time, they were called Surface.
And I did consider buying one, but I knew I would never get one through committee at home. But yeah, those were definitely straightforward predictions, and that is definitely up Bill's alley. But those types of predictions are great. But the idea of did he predict AI, and did he predict AI would be so hallucinogenic? Did he predict that it would need to steal so much copywritten material to be even helpful? Did he predict that it would require so much CPU and so much energy so that I could have it create a poem for my wife, right? I don't know that he predicted that. If he had, then, you know, maybe we wouldn't have the surprise of DeepSeek coming out with being able to do AI on a Raspberry Pi. You know, I mean, it's does he get into those types of predictions? Because that's the stuff we really need to
understand. I honestly don't remember. It was a while. It's been 20 years since I read that stuff.
Gotcha. Because it would be nice if he predicted that we would need power. I probably could have done that myself.
All right. So here's one thing he predicted and actually came true.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you get paid to answer emails.
Yes, that's true.
Oh.
We do. We get paid to answer emails. Now, eventually, though, we're not going to get paid to answer emails because, again, the AI will answer it before people even bother sending it. Or the AI will...
Importantly, you're not going to get rich.
Right. And we're not getting rich now. Or the AI will actually fix the problem before you have it. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice.
Yes. When those days happen, we're all going to be doing something else. We'll be working on the arts, or we won't be actually creating any art because AI is going to be doing that for us. I don't know what we're going to be doing.
Hopefully retired.
Exactly, David. But yeah, I mean, Bill was a visionary, of course. But again, it would have been nice to say, you know what, in the future, we're going to have a lot more computers and we may need more energy. It needs to be plentiful and low cost. But we seem to not be able to predict that stuff. That's the part that frustrates me, if you can't tell.
All right, guys, I'm leaving.
All right, David. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling and telling us about Gates and what he predicted.
Yeah, yeah, we appreciate it. We do. We're not kidding. We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
I just wish of all these folks that were supposedly so smart, why we're dealing with these silly problems still is beyond me. You know, it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, again. Our governor I just saw it recently in the news. He's like, you know, maybe we should use natural gas. You think we should get more natural gas down here? Of course.
Yeah, we should.
You know, we make the most amazing jet engines on the planet, and they also they happen to power power plants. And what do you need for those jet engines to work? Gas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's a way to get some, a lot of cheap energy here in Connecticut if you wanted to. But you got to allow the pipelines. You got to allow all this stuff to happen. So who would have thunk? I bet you Bill Gates knew that we would have needed energy to do this. But here in Connecticut, we make great pizza here. Wouldn't you want to be the state that had the lowest cost of living? Wouldn't that be the thing you would be so happy? Wouldn't that be great in your license plate instead of we make great pizza is you can afford to live here? Wouldn't that be a good thing on your license plate? That might attract somebody in Saskatchewan when you're parked for summer vacation versus we make great pizza. Oh, I don't know. I digress. So as we wait for your calls, do you want to bring up anything in the news?
Yeah. Here's another AI story.
Of course.
We may as well.
The rest of our lives is heading toward AI, Dennis.
All right. It turns out that the UK.
Yeah.
We're back across the pond. All right. Their Ministry of Justice.
Yes.
Has been working on an algorithm to predict who might become a killer.
Oh, my goodness. The Minority Report.
It was straight out of Minority Report.
Yeah.
But apparently it is a serious thing that they were either they were doing or maybe still are doing. And they're working on it. And it is a little bit crazy.
It's dystopian, man.
Yeah. Oh,
the AI is going to use what? Your medical records, your DNA information, your 23andMe, your family history, your income.
According to the article that I've got here, it's based on police data. So
okay.
it wouldn't be medical records or anything unless some of that information is in like police reports.
Oh, gotcha. So they're going to say if you've been arrested 50 times, you probably are going to do something again.
Right. And I guess they're going by the content of those reports too.
Okay.
The specific things that you may have done that are maybe predictors. I'm not entirely sure. It's a very short article.
Well, that makes sense though. I mean, how many times have we heard? Everyone knew this guy was going to do something, or everyone knew.
I'm sure there's some validity to some
yes,
of this.
Yes.
At some point.
I thought
point.
You were doing Gattaca type of thing, where it's like it's all about your genetics and your
nah, it doesn't
family
look
history.
That way.
Okay, it's purely the fact that you
that
commit
way.
Crimes, you might commit another one. All right.
But it's a little bit crazy. And the article also mentions that law enforcement is doing a lot of other stuff with AI.
Yeah.
And we have talked about that where AI is being used to generate police reports.
Right.
It'll look at like a policeman's body cam feed.
Right. Right.
And it might generate a report based on that. Well,
yeah.
I also happen to have another article about the Anchorage Police Department up in Alaska that had been doing that. They had been using AI to generate reports.
Yeah.
And they've folded that project because it's not saving their officers any time.
Oh.
And the quality of them is not as good.
There you go.
So
AI is not working.
Folding
yet.
It. So.
Yeah. We all agree it's not ready for prime time.
No.
Let's take a quick break and get to Andrea, Joe, and Mike. Thank you guys for calling in. And one line open for you, and then we'll get right to your calls. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And you guys are all woken up, and it's like 15 minutes before the show ends, and the lines are all filled up. You guys know we start at 9. Let's go to Andrea in Southington. Andrea, what's up?
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I could be better right now because I'm like losing my mind here.
All right.
I've scanned from my HP printer to my desktop, which is a Dell. And it keeps going back saying to scan to computer, visit 123hp.com to download HP software.
Mm.
This keeps happening.
So it works for a while, and then you got to go download the software again?
Yeah.
Is it a
what? I don't know. Because I scanned yesterday.
Yep.
And then I went to find it, and it's like, I don't even know where it went. I went into documents, into pictures, and into downloads, and into scans, and like, it's not there. So right. I do it again. I guess this time I unplugged it, the printer, and plugged it back in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then now I have to like reinstall this software. I don't understand why this keeps happening. I am buying a new laptop. I am going to go with the HP Envy.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
With all my Dell is it's probably 6 years old or something.
Okay, that's not too old.
Yeah, I would suggest using HP's Print and Scan Doctor to fix the connection with the scanner. You download it from their website, you run it, it'll go through a wizard where it asks you which printer you're working on and what you want to do with it. You'll pick that printer, you'll tell it to fix the scanning function.
Yeah.
And it will go through a process of getting everything installed that's required. It may lead you through this process where you go to 123HP.com or whatever that site is. I forget what it is. But it may lead you through that one more time, but it should finally resolve it and stabilize it once it's finished. Okay?
So where do I go? Print and scan doctor?
Yeah, we're going to post a link to that. So don't go searching the internet for it.
Yeah, we'll put a link. And is it a wireless printer scanner?
Yes.
Yeah. I bet you're losing the IP.
Yeah, it is. But what the scan print and scan doctor will do is it'll change how it connects to the printer to use its host name rather than the IP
address. Yeah. All right, Andrew, that should solve it for you.
All right, thank you. Enjoy the weather.
Yeah, you too. All right, we're going to move on to Joe. I think he's next in Berlin. He's been on the longest. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning. You know what? You complain about people calling you at the end of the show, but it's your own fault.
It is.
Absolutely.
I'm sure.
At the beginning of the show, you have all these interesting comments and stories to tell that, you know, I got to listen to them first before I can.
You're right. Call you guys out. Right. It's our fault. We appreciate that. Good point. Good point, Joe.
Anyhow. Yeah. I'm trying to log into the Hartford Current website.
Ah.
And I cannot. It keeps going round and round and round and round. I did call the Hartford Current.
Yeah.
I got their tech support.
Yeah.
And he wanted to log into my computer and he wanted to know my login password. And there was some other information he wanted from me. And it just sounded too
much. Yeah.
Too sketchy for me.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I'd dial the wrong number. So.
Right. Yeah, he shouldn't need your login password to your computers or anything like that.
No, he shouldn't.
Well.
Basically, any kind of tech support should reset passwords so you start fresh again, no matter what you're doing. They shouldn't request. That's why I joke about asking for people's passwords. That shouldn't be something people do. So it's good for you to not do that. As far as you're not being able to log in, have you tried logging into their site on a different system?
Yes. On my laptop.
And does it work?
Going through the same network connection. And it works.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's something wrong with your...
I'm thinking maybe he just needs to clear the browser cache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your browser is remembered something incorrectly, and you need to clear that cache, is what Dennis is saying.
So how do I clear the cache?
Well, it depends on the browser.
Well, we can post an article to do it, and Firefox. We can find one that... We're going to find one that covers all the different browsers because you're looking to clear Firefox, but other users might be looking to clear Chrome or Edge or whatever. Yeah.
So we'll put a link for that.
We'll put a link that covers all of them.
Because, again, you've done the test. Yeah. It works on another device, so it's definitely something up with your system. You just need to fix the issue, and browser cache would be a good place to start.
Yeah. I mean, both computers are running Firefox.
Yep, and one works and one doesn't.
Yep.
I miss the good old days of just picking up the paper off the ground and getting your fingers all full of ink. Don't you miss those days, Joe?
Well, no, I still do that. And but what happens? They have all these good stories in them, and I just want to, I go online. Am I causing problems? And I'll copy them and email them to people who speak about it.
Sounds good. Well, Joe, that should solve it for you, we hope.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for checking in.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're solving Harvard Current problems. Let's go. Let's go to Mike in Glastonbury up next. What's up, Mike?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I have two quick questions. One is my Outlook email keeps pushing the 49.5 limitation in storage.
Oh.
And I've been going back and trying to either archive or delete emails I don't need. But it's very tedious and takes forever. Are there any tools or techniques that might speed this process up? Because otherwise I just watch my computer spin the wheels as it does it.
Right.
Do you have the Outlook client, the classic Outlook client?
On your local,
on your computer.
Well, it's with Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
On a server and then
all right
to my desktop.
Okay. What I'm going to suggest is if you have Outlook, it has auto archive tools in it. And what that will do is it will go back over a period of time. You can change the settings to whatever you want. And it will, as a matter of fact, it will also periodically do this, like every month or however frequently you want to do it.
Right.
And it will take email out of the main mailbox, which would be online with Microsoft, and it will save it to a PST file, an archive file on your computer.
Okay.
And it will kind of automatically manage that for you.
We can put some articles up there as far as how you configure that. That way you don't have to do it manually.
All right. Yeah. Cause it's very slow if you try to pick them and do it manually.
Yes, sir.
Can you just for me and everybody else, probably, when you say put an article up, what's the link to do that?
We're going to post that to our website or and to Facebook and to Twitter. Mike G will get it out to
those. ComputerTalkWithTab.com, which is the name of the show.com, which also works.
All right. Awesome.
All right, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, guys. That's helpful. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Our pleasure. It is annoying to try to manage your email.
It is.
You know, you definitely can automate. Let's try to get this other Mark in Glastonbury on. What's going on, Mark? Or Mike?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Love your show. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
So, last week, you guys, I had forgotten my password for my HP laptop.
Yep.
And this time I got the model number and everything. So I did exactly what you wanted me to do.
Yeah, you put it back to factory fresh, right?
It won't. Yeah, it won't take it. It's asking me. It just won't do it. I did every step by step, the instructions of what you gave me.
Yeah.
And I did it, and it didn't work.
Hmm.
It's asking me for the BitLocker.
No, it is BitLocker. Well, we told you
BitLocker. Yeah.
Yeah, we
I don't
told
have
you.
Have that.
Yeah, we told you that could be the issue. You're never going to get past
that.
Is
there a way around it? I've got to get into this computer. It's a, I have the model. It's the.
No, your model doesn't matter.
Model doesn't make any difference. If you don't have the BitLocker key, you are not getting that data ever.
Right. So
I got the model number and a serial number, and I saved the box.
Yeah, not going
to
be.
Who do I contact to get that? Who would have that?
Well, wherever you got this computer from, it was encrypted.
Somebody turned on BitLocker because it doesn't turn itself on out of the box. Okay,
right.
Somebody did that.
Yeah.
At the time that they did that, BitLocker showed them on the screen a key.
Very long key.
A very long key. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
whoever
that person is going to have that key, or they should.
Yeah.
Assuming they retained it. But there is no one else, nowhere else you can ever go to get that.
So we told you to wipe it.
I gotta ask you.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
If they didn't retain that key, then what?
That's over. You can't get the data. So you have to start with, the only option you have is factory fresh. You have to go and restore it as if it just came out of the box, which that instruction should still work. So if you're trying to go and do a recovery of a BitLocker operating system, you can't. But you can wipe it fresh if your machine has the ability to reload from a little area on the machine that's been saved and put aside. So you're never going to get at the data without that key, period. Unless you're the NSA or North Korea.
So because it's a Windows 13, it's got even more safety features.
Yeah, you can't get at that data, which is a good thing if people want to protect their data. But if you want to use that computer for something else, you're going to have to wipe it. It's called wipe it and reload. Sorry about that information.
Yeah, but I can't. It won't let me. Exactly what you said. It just won't let me.
You should be able to get around that BitLocker to wipe it. You're missing something.
There's got to be an option in the recovery process that allows you to delete everything on the drive and start over.
Right.
And you have to select that option. But BitLocker isn't going to prevent you from doing that. It's just not.
Yeah. You're missing a step.
There's something that you're being asked at some point that is just not getting you to where you need to be.
So we'll put a link up again for that if we can for you, Mark, but we're running out of time, hitting the top of the hour, so we got to let you go, but we appreciate the call. We want to thank Matt Sirois for stepping in, slumming with us here on Saturday morning. He does the big show during the week, so we appreciate that. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over on Facebook and X for us, so if you follow us over there. And, of course, Dennis posted everything over at computertalkwithtab.com.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.